Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. My name's Maya Chupkov, your host. Today we have Justin McCullough. Justin is the founder of Creative Cretin. So nice to have you, Justin.
Nice to meet you, Maya. Thank you for having me on.
I'd love to start off with kind of how I always start things off. You had mentioned that you started stuttering at the age of 10. Can you talk about when you first noticed your stutter and how that experience was like for you?
Right. I don't remember the precise moment or even the year, really. I remember being around that age between 8 and 10, I believe, which was around the time that my mother, who had raised me on her own from birth pretty much, had begun to date again. And I think, I mean, it's not anything that I can prove clinically, but there's something about that transition from being, you know, just me and her to having a me and her and him that kind of, I guess, changed my, I'm not sure how to phrase it, the way that I kind of think about personal interactions and how I engage with others. I went from sort of being casual and sort of less observant, I guess, in the way that I would communicate, to wanting to kind of get to the point and wanting to kind of rush through my thoughts and be less, I guess, less of a consumer of time in a conversation.
When you noticed your speech change, like how did that impact like school and just like other ways that you were in like social settings or communicating?
Yeah. When I was that young, at least, there wasn't anything traumatic. But I remember kind of having a new friend group around the same time. And because they didn't really know me before, they kind of just went with my sort of inflection and my tone and pace. So it wasn't really a case of trauma at that point. I noticed it became more of an issue in high school than later when I was trying to be someone who was respected or more, what's the word I'm looking for? more welcomed in that setting. Because, you know, in high school, everyone's really looking to be, you know, cool or admired. And when you're someone who stands out for any reason, it can be physical appearance, it can be gender, or in my case, vocal inflection. It makes it, or it can be a challenge, just finding a compatible friend group. So, I mean, for that reason, I kind of had, well, in my opinion, I had fewer friends than maybe I could have had otherwise. But I was able to get through it, of course, but, through high school, I was kind of shy, kind of reserved, kind of stuck to studies and did, the schoolwork, and I made friends, but not a ton, and mostly just hang out during school hours.
And when you went to college, like how was your stutter in college? Because like for me, there were certain classes I would avoid because they had more speaking components in it. And also I was like thinking really deeply about like, okay, what do I want my career to be? And I feel like in the back of my mind, like I always wanted to like do a good career, even though like, and I didn't want really think about my stutter at all. Like I kind of just wanted to do something and I didn't want my stutter to impact it. But I feel like in the back of my mind, I was always afraid that my stutter would prevent me from wanting to like do what I really wanted to do. So yeah, I'm wondering what your experience was in that sense.
It's funny you should ask that. I mean, I wasn't thinking about it a minute ago, but going back to high school for a moment, a few of my peers managed to convince me to join the speech and debate club. Around junior or senior year. Looking back on it now, I see it as they were kind of hoping for a bit of humor out of it. But during those trips with the, I guess it was 10 of us, I did not stellar, but decently. I got okay marks. I was, I think, more present during that, and I was a bit more calm and focused. One of the comments that I got was that I seemed to be sort of building my thoughts as I went, which I guess meant I was pausing a lot, which is likely not what they want from a debate speaker. But because of the way that I speak, I was trying very very hard not to give away that I had the stutter. And I kind of carried that forward into college. It was difficult. I think you're right in saying that I took on the courses that had less of a communication focus. I stayed more on the math end of things. I did chemistry and algebra and geometry, things of that nature, that had less of a call and answer, I suppose. I'm not sure if that changed sort of my career in any sense. I was only there for a couple of years. I didn't really even graduate. Once I reached the JC, I began working on campus fixing lab computers, which was kind of random and very very beneficial because one of the staff there used a system for ticket tracking built by a former student, and it was functional but not very well maintained. And I offered them the challenge of if you give me a month off of work as a lab technician, I could build you a better system, having learned a couple of languages in the year or two that I had been going to the JCs. And I took advantage of the position, built them a brand new system that they preferred, and began working there at the college full time. So I guess in a sense, kind of focusing more on the science end of things was a benefit to me.
That sounds like you kind of saw an opportunity and put yourself out there, and then it, yeah, it ended up like really working out as far as like going into software engineering and kind of helping you get that foundation started in your career.
Oh, certainly. No, I've been very lucky in that regard. And I guess at least having the initiative to want to sort of prove myself in that way, it was what got me to the place that I'm in currently. I've always wanted to be someone who could sort of have something of value, you know, to his name. I put a lot of pride in the work that I do. I do try hard to get across that the things that I do matter. I don't have a ton of limitations.
Do you think that part of you can kind of connect back to your stutter?
Of course. I mean, it's always something there at the back of my mind. Even now, talking to you, I'm trying to keep a steady pace. Because I mean, when I'm more conversational, I tend to go faster. I think that I speak, or rather, my mind tells me that I'm not putting out enough words. If that makes sense, that I should be better at getting to the point more than trying to find the right rhythm, and that puts me in these weird places where. I try to speak faster than I can effectively communicate, and I end up trying to go back a pace, and that's when the stuttering begins. It's more of like my chest seizes up and my throat closes up, and I can't think about what I just said to go back to what I meant to say, and it all becomes like a muddy jumble.
Yeah, no, I definitely my collaborator who also stutters, she describes it in a very similar way. It's interesting because like for me, I take like anti-anxiety medication, and I feel like that almost like I didn't take it for my stuttering, but I feel like ever since I started taking it, it has helped my stutter in a weird way. Sure. So, yeah,
it's definitely mental. Whatever it is, it's there's something because it doesn't happen when I sing or speak to myself. It's only during either during times when I'm trying to make an impression on someone, or it can happen if I'm in a store, for example, and I'm trying to ask for the location of a product. It can be because I'm trying to not take up their time, so I want to ask them without asking them for too long. what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. When I have like meetings where it's like very time constrained, and I only know I have like 5 minutes with someone, that's when it's the hardest. So, yeah.
For sure. So I mean, I do really appreciate this being so casual and informal. There's no clock behind your head. ticking down, right?
Exactly. Oh my god. Yeah. When I have to like speak at like conferences and stuff, and there's that clock that goes down, I'm just like, oh my god. And now I've been asking people no clocks, like. I know that's probably harder on your end, but like, trust me, like.
No, I felt the same way. There's something about that wanting to get it over with that makes it worse.
Yeah, I actually recorded my most recent talk at a conference. I haven't watched it back yet, but I'm intrigued to see like when I stuttered and yeah, so. It's fun now that I'm so used to stuttering and talking about it. It's like so easy for me to like listen to myself stutter now, and it's more of like for fun, like, oh, like let me listen, like, or if I if I stuttered a lot on something, it's like a win. Like, oh, I stuttered because like I feel like I've been training myself my whole life to like not stutter. So unlearning that and just not being as preventative of it. Because, yeah, people do get confused when I tell them I stutter sometimes, because, you know, sometimes I'll just have a very fluent day and they're just like, wait. They're just like, wait, what?
Like, like, what do you mean?
They don't, like, they don't get it. I'm like, oh, right. Now I have to explain.
So let me ask
why
you,
it is.
Let me, if I can, I wonder, when you're speaking to someone sort of informally, and you're, assuming it's being recorded, do you stutter more in the recording than you realize?
Oh yeah, I do.
Yes, yeah,
is that how it is for you too?
It is. I didn't. So going back to being a child of 10 or so, people would tell me, you know, you should slow down and focus. And at the time, I didn't always understand what they were communicating to me, because I wasn't stuttering. I was just speaking. And it wasn't until I was recorded in a session. I would go to speech therapy sessions, and they paid it back to me, and I didn't even realize I was doing it until then. And even now, there are times when I'll leave a voicemail, for example, on someone's phone, and play it back, and I'll go, oh wow, I didn't even know I was doing it at that point. I was changing my pace. I was stuttering. I was kind of going back over lines again. And it was all sort of subconscious.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that. Yeah, and another thing I noticed too is I use a lot of filler words, and I almost wish I didn't use filler words and I just stuttered.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I do a bit of that too. A few ums and uhs and long pauses. I'm not sure. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I wonder which is worse, to sort of force through the repetition or to give a few seconds of a pregnant pause with someone that is not familiar with me or the stutter.
Yeah, I think a lot of it also has to do with the urge to like fill space, you know, like,
sure.
I feel like pauses can be awkward. So maybe society's reaction to our stutters have taught us that we need to like, just get it, you know, like
making noise.
Yeah.
Sure.
I want to get to like your, like, because I feel like with stuttering, and for someone to like want to be on a podcast, like you probably have to be at some healthy point in your stuttering journey where you feel comfortable enough to like talk about it openly. And that's probably not been the case forever. So I'm just wondering like what that moment was for you when you kind of started to like be more open about it, or if you've always been open about it, or yeah, like how has that relationship been like between you and your stutter?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's, we help you save.
Right. It's kind of weird for me. So when I first go into a situation with someone new or over the phone or in a conference or a talk, I tend to try to suppress it and hide it, because I don't want to make the other person uncomfortable. I don't want to have them ask me, are you okay? You know? But once I kind of gain their trust and they're kind of with me, that's when I sort of let the guard down a little bit. And the pace kind of goes up a little bit. And then they kind of understand, oh yeah, this is someone with that condition, not condition, but you know, someone with that speech pattern. And at that point, once they kind of know, oh well, this isn't a lunatic. He's not someone who we should be afraid of. Once I have their trust, I feel a bit more comfortable just speaking at a more normal rate, normal tone. And then at that point, it's more a case of when I stutter, I just reset, I stop and back up a pace and take the rate down a little bit, like I just did, because again, I don't want that to be their focus, but I also don't necessarily want to come out as a stutterer at the same time. I feel, at least for me, if it's more of an organic thing, it feels more comfortable, at least with me. I never know for sure. And I mean, in my experience, like most people don't really care. They just want to sort of know that you're getting the point across, and once you're making good points, that's really all that matters. It's only really been an issue in a couple of cases where people say, you know, you should probably get your thoughts together better, and it's like, well, that's not really the issue. It isn't a matter of it being a mental block. It's just I don't have, and again, I don't know how to phrase it other than to say that. The words get caught up in my chest, and I can't get them out in an effective way. But again, like no one, the majority of people that I run across, they don't get hung up on the stutter, unless it's like super bad. There are times when I can't even get a syllable out, and that's when I get the weird stares, and that's when I go into panic and everything shuts down. I don't know what to do next. And I have to either just start over completely, shake my head and close my eyes. But I never say, oh, by the way, I stutter. At that point, they know. It's out there. We move forward, hopefully.
Oh, man. Yeah. And I feel like as stutters who have to go through that, it kind of adds a layer of like needing to pump ourselves up to like get through it and not giving up. Cause like it's not like, okay, like if you're talking to someone and you go through that where you're really stuck and you're like, then you go into panic mode. It's not like you can just give, I mean, you could, but it's not like you just like, leave, you know, like you leave and you're like, I'm just gonna escape. Like you kind of have to like pump yourself up to keep going,
right?
And get out of the situation.
and kind of hope the other person has a bit of patience.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, I guess when you had emailed me, because now when people Google you, they might come across this podcast. Is that like scary for you? Are you ready? Or like, are people going to be surprised when they see this?
To be honest, publicity is one of the scariest things for me. While it's necessary when you're, because I own a business and I want to grow it, it isn't necessary to be out there and to be somewhat face forward. And that scares me a lot, because I'm a very personal person to begin with. And when you add to that the fact that I have this sort of prideful mind that I want to be seen as someone who is not flawless, but at least, comfortable and very respectable. It's weird to want someone, at least, I'm not sure how really to phrase it, but it's kind of like, I don't want to be seen as someone with major flaws. And while stuttering isn't necessarily the end of the world, of course, it's nothing firmly detrimental. It is something that stands as an obstacle to introductions or first impressions, I would say. And first impressions are so important, right? There are people who I met 10 years ago who believe that I'm in, who think that I'm into a certain band because I played one song for them one time. The way that you come across in that first moment is so important. And so I don't want to be someone who is known for having a stutter, even though I obviously do. It isn't something that I'm particularly ashamed of, but it is something that I don't want to have. That I don't want to be anchored to. I don't want to be Justin the stutterer. I want to be Justin, the owner of Creative Cretin, the maker of these great products.
Yeah, no, I'm always thinking about not having my stutter define me, but to also be able to be my own person separate from my stutter, even though I have this whole platform now that's around stuttering, but I still try to not separate myself from that, but I'm just I don't want it to be my whole thing. If I didn't have a stutter, I wouldn't be me. Although sometimes I feel like my stutter has shaped me in a lot of ways, but yeah, so I always think about that, is stuttering is stuttering my personality? I don't know. It's I kind of go down some rabbit holes when I think in that way of what is my stutter in relation to me, you know?
Certainly. Let me ask. I've had days when, at the end of the day, right before bed, I'll kind of I replay the events of my interactions, and I'll think what would have happened if I talked to so and so and the speech was better. Do you ever have those moments?
I used to, not anymore.
Interesting. What changed?
I think I just. Yeah, I don't know. I've never thought of that, but I think I just cared a lot more about what people thought about my stutter. But now that I'm so open about it, it's almost like it's just so normal for me that I don't really put that much thought into it anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there are moments though where I have an awkward moment with a colleague or someone else. And then I replay that in my head, on loop. I'm damn it. Sure. Yeah. So there are definitely moments where I'm that was weird. That was awkward. and that sticks with me. But overall, I feel like I've really, I feel especially with this documentary I'm making, I feel like all my energy is going into thinking about that I don't really have energy to think about other things.
That's great.
But yeah, that makes me want to learn more about your passion and what you're doing around mental health, because that's so huge. And I feel like so many people are trying to like get at mental health for the wrong reasons, just because it's like a hot topic and like, you know, there's all these apps coming out. But I feel like you're really approaching it from like a genuine place that's not like to make money or to like take advantage of all these people having different mental health issues, but really like being thoughtful and like helpful.
Oh yeah, certainly. So about a year ago, I was working with a group of college kids in California near Woodland Hills. I think it was Agoura Hills, actually. And one of them mentioned in his friend group, they have a concept where if any one of them is having a tough day or they're in the middle of stress, they can call the other or text them at any time with a certain phrase. And what that phrase will indicate was that the person was needing 8 minutes to get whatever the issue was off their chest, and that it was important for them that their friend groups all kind of participated. But the issue really is that most people don't have such a friend group for themselves. And so my concept was to somehow build a network of peers that at any time can be reached via either a phone call or a text message or a chat through an app, or even in person in an office building or at a shopping mall. And so the project that I'm building is 8 minute chat. With the idea being that within 8 minutes you can have your reset. If you're having that moment of panic or of stress, and there's no one that you can talk to immediately, just open the app, hit a button, or walk into one of our offices, and there's always someone there that is willing to listen. It's not so much therapy as it is just someone to share your burden for that short period.
I am obsessed with that. I think that is brilliant. Oh my gosh, I could use that because I only get 30 minutes a week with my therapist, and sometimes I just need that like quick like, okay, I need to unload right now. So I think that's brilliant. And I love how that originated in such an organic way too.
Well, thank you. And yeah, that's the idea, is to sort of fill that gap between traditional therapy and having a friend like a more conventional friend, someone that will always be there without having you have without the need for a personal connection, or a bill, or a interview.
Wow, I love that. And so, where in the process are you with that? Like, where in the, like, is it going to launch soon, or like, yeah, what's the update there?
It is still very early. It's still currently being self-funded, but there is a homepage, 8min.org. That's the word 8, min.org. You can go there and subscribe for updates. We'll be having a launch on, I believe it's a GoFundMe soon. And once that goes live, that'll be sort of our big launch moment, and that is planned to be happening by October of this year.
Amazing. Well, yeah, I'd love to help share that once it's out, because yeah, I think that's something that our listeners would love to get involved with. So, and I can include the link to subscribe in the show notes so people can get all the updates. And I guess my last question is related to your app. Like, has mental health always been something you are interested in? Like, what has your kind of mental health journey been like?
It is. It's been difficult for me. I'm someone who finds it tricky to find people I can trust. So going through the process of interviewing, finding the right therapist, and kind of opening up to them is something that's always been tricky for me. And therapy is something that I think is very important for everyone, whether it be formal or through friends, or even through a phone line. But it's one of those things that's very difficult, I think, to get right. And it isn't for a lack of opportunity, but it can be difficult to pay for. It can be difficult to go there in person if you're someone who doesn't have access to a car. There are all these sort of different barriers. And I think the most important thing is simply making the process more frictionless.
Yeah. No. That's. That's huge, because even like finding the therapist I have now, which I love her, but it took a lot to get to that point, and to like go through the assessment and like the paperwork. I'm like, oh my God, like I barely made that.
Right. And whenever you find someone new, it begins the process all over again. It's a bit like dating.
And so is this 8 minutes, like, how is that different from the creative cretin? Like, what is the relationship there?
So Creative Cretin was founded as a software technology company. We make mostly consumer-based products, but also we do a little bit of B2C. An 8-minute chat is designed to be more of a nonprofit. It's more of a social benefit. So it's not necessarily about making products. It's more about just having a bit of or rather doing a bit of social good.
Awesome. I love that. It's definitely good to have, I think, both, like, something for the social good that's like separate from like making money off of something. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Justin, thank you so much for being on Proud Stutter. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we hopped off?
Thank you very much for your time. This has been wonderful. And I've been listening to the show on occasion. I really, really like your interview style. And your guests are always fun to listen to.
Aw, thank you. No, I was so excited when you emailed me. And yeah, it was fun getting to know you. And yeah, I'm excited for everyone to learn more about 8 minutes. I think it's an amazing concept, and I'm definitely going to subscribe. So all you guys out there should as well.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold 2 companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than 1 million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, courses, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.